may be seated. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to drink that one. That one's got wood all over it. No, that's okay. I'll be fine. It's fine. I think when I started pounding on the pulpit, all the dust cut loose in it. Nah, it's all right. Yeah, I've got one on my desk too. I'll be fine. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to read the entire chapter very quickly. We're going to be here for at least this week and next. I think maybe for the next three Wednesday nights, tonight and two more. But I'm going to start part one tonight, and then we'll keep on going here. But this is known as the love chapter, charity chapter, whatever you would like to call. But let me read it to you, and then we're going to jump into the Bible study tonight. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is perfect in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, God's love and charity. God's love and the word charity are the same word. The word charity in 1 Corinthians 13 is the word agape. It is the type of love that God is, not just that God has. It is a love that gives. The problem with the word charity isn't what God means with it, it's what man has corrupted it to be. See, we sinful humans have degraded the word charity. Today, charity has become a way to give to poor people or to those that we think are in need. Charity today has become a way for humans to give a little to soothe their conscience to make them feel better about themselves. Charity today has become a way for us to feel we did something without getting our hands dirty with those in need. We can put money into a kettle or into a box or into an account and never interact with the people to whom the money is going. And yet we feel like we were charitable. As in most all that man does, sin corrupts good. Can I just use this as an illustration, and don't get too wound up here, but no matter what we do, it's laced with sin.
Right.
Its motive has sin behind it somewhere. For instance, now charity is used for murdering babies. Well, they're being kind. It's a mother's right. It's her body. She can do what she wants. And yet you give to Planned Parenthood or you give to the United Way, you're supporting abortion, which is murder, but we call it charity. It's a 501c3 charitable organization. We call giving clean needles to drug addicts charity. We use taxpayer dollars to sponsor drug addicts to shoot drugs into their veins so that they don't get as less apt to get AIDS. That's what the Clean Needle program is, just so you know. We call charity the Clintons, and I'm not going any further with that one. We call protecting illegal aliens who are criminals charity. Sanctuary cities. By the way, the term sanctuary city means this. If somebody is picked up guilty of a crime, the police catch them, they run their fingerprints and find out they're an illegal alien, they're supposed to contact the federal agencies, either ICE or the FBI, and report them, hold them, detain them till the feds get there and pick that illegal person up. Sanctuary city says, no, we're not doing that. Even though you committed a crime, you go back on the streets, we're just letting you go. That's what a sanctuary city is. That's why Chicago had 4,000 murders last year. United Way pays to murder babies, and we call that charity. Biggest supporter of Planned Parenthood is United Way. Now, I say that to say this. We have the audacity to call giving drug heads, drug addicts, more drugs in a methadone clinic charity. Folks, do you know what methadone is? No. It's crack. Meth heads. They actually give them meth so that they can barometer how much to try to bring them down slowly. It's kind of like a nicotine patch. Everybody doing okay? We call this charity. That has nothing to do with charity. Has nothing to do with love. None of those things have anything to do with love. God uses some very interesting terms in this chapter. God starts the chapter by telling us that man tries to pass off what man tries to pass off as charity or love, but God doesn't see it that way. What man calls charity and what we sinners call charity, God says that's not charity. And what real charity is, they don't want anything to do with. Now, tonight, I'm going to start part one. And that part is this. That is what charity is not. What charity is not according to God. All right? So, get your Bibles ready. I'm going to show you a few things here. And I really think it's going to be a little bit lighter than you're used to. I'm going to use some names tonight. Don't get all upset. You're not too associated with too many of these names anyway. You'll probably be in total agreement. But I just want to show you something. Look at verse number one. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, and become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. God says here, loving words and loving attitudes are not charity to God. Loving words and loving attitudes are not charity to God. I call them eloquent speakers. Do you ever hear these people get up and, oh, they talk with the love of God? That's what God says when you talk with the tongues of men and of angels. That's these people that want to impress you with, well, we have to come to God with a sincere heart. It doesn't matter what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. You know, all these reprobates. God tells us these people of eloquent voice, suave words. Though you can speak like that, it doesn't mean you really know how to love.
Right.
I'm talking about Joel Osteen. He's one of those suave critters. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I saw that guy for about 5 minutes one time. I thought I was going to vomit. My wife and I were somewhere, and it happened to be on. I think it's when that dude was going to walk across the canyon on the, and they were interviewing him. I thought, what a stinking fake this jerk is. You know, he's got the real pretty hair and the real pretty face, and he's talking real. Eloquently and real somberly and lovingly. And I thought, you want to make me throw up. I'd love to get you out in the field and give you a knife and have you gut a deer one time and just splash them guts all over your face one time. Just see what you do. These guys with their pretty words. They want to... there's a Southern Baptist on the radio. He's pretty famous, called Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll, I call him Chuck Swindler. Number one, he doesn't even believe the King James Bible. Number two, and by the way, he used to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention for a while. Chuck Swindoll is as wrong doctrinally as they come. Chuck Swindoll believes that it's okay to take Lord's Supper with potato chips and pop. It's just the symbolism. Doesn't matter what it is. What a degradation to the body and blood of Christ.
Right.
Oh. But they speak intellectually. I'm talking about Adrian Rogers, former Southern Baptist Convention president who died here a few years ago. Some of these real suave, eloquent speakers. James Dobson and Hocus Pocus on the Family. These are people that they talk at a level that you think is very loving because, well, we have to have tough love. They wouldn't know tough love if they had it. God tells us people who use angelic terms or themes. Did you ever notice how many charities deal with angels? It's hilarious to me. You know, City of Angels. And then you have the Charity of Angels. And you have the angelic this and the angelic that. And they're talking about all these angels. Did you ever meet those people that are real spooky? You know, be careful, you're entertaining angels unaware. And I'll bet you that was an angel. Everybody they talk to, something strange takes place. That was an angel. That was an angel. Those kind of people freak me out, you know. Stay away from me. You know, Casper was not here, just so you know. You know, people who sense angelic beings. You know, these are usually your charismaniacs, your holy rollers, your Pentecostals. Oh, I feel the presence of an angel. You know, you felt something, but it wasn't the angel. You probably had to go to the washroom or something. They talk in this real superfluous, real strange, ethereal language almost. They live in this non-real world. By the way, there are angels, and I believe there are angels that we have interacted with as human beings, because the Bible does say that we've entertained them, but you wouldn't know who they were. Doesn't do you any good to try to figure it out. I mean, people in the Bible talked to them and didn't know they were angels, and Jesus was there and had to tell them that it was an angel. So if Jesus was having to tell them, they didn't know they were talking to an angel. They weren't sensing it, just so you know. You say, well, how will we know? When you get to heaven, you'll figure it out. It's not worth trying to figure out. You say, well, I bet this time I... Well, it may have been, but it may have been bad pizza before you went to bed, too. I don't know. God says these people who use fancy spiritual talk... Don't impress God. And just because you can use big fancy spiritual talk doesn't mean that you're using love either. Can I tell you something? I know people that speak very softly and say they love, but they never show it to anybody. They think in their softness, they're showing love.
Right.
Can I tell you something? And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That wasn't real soft. Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God proved his love to man by allowing Jesus to be crucified. That wasn't real nice and easy.
Right.
So just because you're easy on somebody doesn't mean you love them.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And just because you're hard on somebody doesn't mean you love them either.
Amen.
It goes both ways. See, love is more than just an attitude or fancy words. God says here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, worthless. That's all it is just noise. Do you ever hear a noise that just didn't stop and you're like, come on, somebody stop that stupid thing. That's what man's words without love is like. All right? Then, number two, got to hurry here. God says that people who appear spiritual but are not biblical are not necessarily loving people. Look at verse number 2. Watch this. I love this. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. This is your... I'll bring it in today's vernacular. This is your charismatics. People that have the gifts of the Spirit. Ooh, I got the gift of prophecy, preacher. I got a vision. Yeah, you did. You had too many onions on your sandwich last night before you went to bed. I saw a 900-foot Jesus. Oral Roberts, amen. You say, what is that? That's one of these people. These are the people that speak in tongues. You got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues to prove that you've been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. These are your faith healers. You know, you got to have all the show. But just because you do all those things doesn't mean that you have biblical love. There's no love to that. Just because those things are present. People who understand, I love this, all mysteries. I looked that up. that term, all mysteries. Those are the unknown things. Let me ask you a question. How can you know unknown things? Yes. Evolutionists know things that they don't know.
Right.
Well, we think this is what happened. Millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago. We don't know how it happened, but we know that it happened.
Yeah.
And isn't it amazing that some animals evolved and some didn't? They just didn't need to, so they didn't. So each animal chose whether to evolve or not. Yeah. But they don't understand how it happened. Y'all know what I'm talking? I mean, you talk about a bunch of lame-brain idiots.
Amen.
I saw a little blip on the news the other day that, you know, in the next 10 million years, there's a chance that one of the moons from Mars is going to crash into Mars. Okay, 10 million years. What are they worried about it right now for? Number one. Number two, even if it hits Mars, that's a long way away from us. Well, in the next 10 billion years, there's a chance that the Milky Way is going to crash with another solar system and they're going to fuse into one. We think. That was the last statement with it. We think. I thought, 10 billion years. Nobody's even going to know you in 10 billion years. Now, these are your spiritual intellectual expositors. These are the people that get up and teach you the deep things of God. These are people that speak in types. Well, gold is the symbol of judgment, and brass is the symbol of this, and number one is this number, number two is this number, number three is this number, and this name means this, and this name means that. Can I tell you something? Everybody got their name before it ever meant anything. Types in the Bible, unless Jesus put those types to it or God put those types to it, mean nothing.
Right.
You can make types say anything. Well, seven is the number of completion and perfection in God. I can also show you that seven is also a number of judgment. There's seven trumpets, seven vials, seven trumpets, and seven judgments in the book of Revelation. So, how's that go for the number of completion? See, this numerology and typology stuff, those people want to speak and make you think that they're very smart. They want to tell you things that the Bible says it's not there. Can I tell you something? Let's just tell it like it is. God was quite capable of telling us what it meant.
That's right.
When the Bible says that the seed is the word of God, okay, seed is a representation of the word of God.
Amen.
That Jesus said, I am the bread of life, okay, Jesus is represented by bread. Okay, that's a symbol that God made very obvious to us. But just because a seed is planted doesn't mean every time it says seed that it means the Bible. But in that case, it meant that. Everybody doing okay? I know people that get so hung up on types and, well, this is a type of this and, you know, Egypt is a type of the world and this is a type of that and this is a type of that. They've missed the whole teaching of the Word of God just trying to chase down types. Bible commentators. Be careful reading commentaries and please don't get mad at me for saying this, but even study Bibles. Most of those people weren't fundamental independent Baptists that went soul winning. I rip on Mr. Schofield. Mr. Schofield was a Calvinist, didn't believe in salvation. He believed in five different dispensations of salvation. Believed people got saved five different ways throughout history. He didn't believe the King James was the Word of God, because in his notes it'll often tell you that these were omitted from original manuscripts, and these words aren't even necessary, these verses shouldn't even be there, and in the RV it says this, and it's more accurate. Mr. Schofield's an idiot.
Yes, sir.
And yet we'll take what Mr. Schofield says over what the man of God says. Anybody doing okay? Anybody had enough time to write, you know, 17,000 volume pages of commentary on the Bible, wasn't out knocking on doors. I'll promise you. Most of those people don't have a good handle on the Word of God. It's somebody sitting in an office drinking coffee, eating donuts, telling you what they want you to know about the Bible to sound important. And then the Bible says, those that have all faith. These are your power positive thinking people. Oh, just think positive. All of your, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. We call it the prosperity gospel of today. You give your seed money and God will bless it and multiply it 100-fold. You give me 1,000 and God will give you 100,000. Isn't it amazing how they end up with millions and you end up in debt? Okay, don't get mad at me. That's the crowd that goes around with their little bracelets and necklaces, you know, what would Jesus do kind of people. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's not biblical. You can't do what Jesus did because Jesus was the Son of God. Hate to tell you that. I remember my youth director, he told me as I first started preaching, if you ever doubt what to preach, just preach what Jesus preached. That was great till I had to do my first funeral. I started looking. Every time Jesus did a funeral, somebody got up out of the grave. I said, that ain't funny. I called him. I said, that's not right. That you gave me bad advice. He said, I didn't mean about that. I said, you said it. You look at it. Anytime he went to a funeral, the guy got up. I'm thinking, man, that's not fair. I can't do that. You know, you can't always do what Jesus did. You know, he walked on water. Go ahead and try. You know, these kind of people sound good and they sound like they love people, but just because you talk that way doesn't mean that you have biblical charity or love. Number three, and I'll hurry with this and we'll be done. We're going to bring it down secularly. Look at verse number three. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Do you know that giving food and money to poor people only is not charity? God said it right there. He said, though I give all of my goods to feed the poor and have not charity, it's nothing. Today's society says that charity is feed the world. No child goes hungry. Feed the Ethiopians. You know, $1 a day feeds a hungry person. You see all the pictures of the pooched out bellies in the little countries all over the world. They want you to feel upset. You know, 19 cents a day, you could feed this child. Then they want to complain about what you feed your kid at school because he's going to get fat. Isn't it amazing? One third of America's children go hungry. One third of America's children are overweight. That means one third of them right where they need to be. But they want that one third that's where they need to be to take care of the fat ones and the skinny ones. I'm not saying children aren't hungry from time to time. But did you know that most kids in America today, we don't know what hunger really is? Let's go back to the 1930s, 1929, 1930s in the Depression and find out what hunger really is. Most people throw out in their trash every week more food than they used to eat in a week. Just because you give money to help poor people, it doesn't constitute charity to God. God told us here, eloquent speech and intellectualism and spiritual talk and tender, loving, suave eloquence, giving money to poor people. He knew we would bring that down to saying, this is my representation of charity. Can I tell you why? Because they were doing it 2,000 years ago. This was spoken 2,000 years ago because they were doing it then. It was relevant then. Just because you give to this doesn't constitute charity to God. You know, I'm not against you feeding a veteran, standing on the side of the road. You know, veteran, need help. Okay, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't give to that person, but I'm telling you this, just because somebody plops a buck in the bucket doesn't mean that they gave charitably. That's not charity, scripturally speaking. By the way, I'm for helping people. But isn't it amazing? Those kind of people, you tell them, get in my car, I'll take you to McDonald's and feed you, they won't go. Yep. We'll work for food. We'll jump in my car, I'll take you. Let's go, what have I got to do? They're not going to go. You say, why? Because they're panhandling. Everybody doing okay? Okay, now I'm going to bring it down into a spiritual world that could make somebody upset if I succeed. Being a medical missionary to help healing, hurting bodies is not charity. I know people that go to college, Bible college, graduate, get a medical degree so they can go give shots to people and they never give the gospel out. What good was it? That's not missions work. That's not charity.
That's right.
Just because you put food in a hungry belly or put a shot in a kid's arm, they're going to die and go to hell healthy. If you don't do it with the word of God, what good was it? Don't call it missions work, that's for sure.
Yes, sir.
Adopting children and having orphanages in third world countries and caring for these children is not charity. Just because you do those things doesn't mean that it's charity. My wife and I had a couple that we won to Christ in South Carolina. They are missionaries in Central America. They're part of a church. They've started a church, but with their church, they also started an orphanage. And they take care of, I'm guessing, probably anywhere from 30 to 70 kids. Amazing. But they're having people saved all the time. But it's under the umbrella of a church. They didn't just start an orphanage. He pastors the church. The church has an orphanage attached with it, but the church is the big thing, not the orphanage. And they're seeing people get saved. Isn't that what it's all about? I'm not saying just because somebody has an orphanage that they don't love somebody. But biblical charity is not just caring for somebody that's poor, somebody that's hungry, somebody that has need, taking care of children. By the way, I'm for taking care of children. But whatever happened to children learning how to take care of themselves? You know, there comes a point in time where a child has to learn how to do things on their own. I realize a 5-year-old doesn't do what a 15-year-old's supposed to do. You know, when my children were 5, they weren't doing the chores that they did when they were 15. But they did do chores at 5. They had to learn to take care of themselves. That's why I've got one that'll be 22 here, not before too long, living on his own. Doing quite well. Making it. Paying his own bills. I'm proud of him. If that's all he does in life, he's done pretty well. He's working on a bus route, soul winning, serving the Lord as a layman in the church. I couldn't ask for more. I got another one that's married, taking care of his wife and working in the ministry, taking care of other people in the ministry. Hey, I'm proud of him. I got another one. She's in school, paying most of her way through school. I'm proud of him. Wait a minute. They got to learn to do that on their own. You know, if my son called his mom today and said, "Mom, I'm out of laundry. Can you come do my laundry? Drive 8 hours to go do his laundry. Something's wrong." But that's what happens. That's why you got 30-year-olds living in mom and dad's basement because they're too lazy to get off their backside and go do something because nobody taught them how to take care of themselves. If I had to call my 22-year-old and say, "Did you shower today? Did you use soap and water? Something's wrong. I'm not mommy anymore of a 5-year-old. You see, all of these things God says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity, and become as a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge and have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, I'm nothing." That's your politicians that get up today and say, "Oh, the Statue of Liberty is crying." May I say something? The Statue of Liberty has nothing to do with immigration. Statue of Liberty didn't come to America until after we had been a country for 108 years. The poem wasn't written until after 1900, and the poem that was placed on the placard in there was written by Emma Lazarus as a fundraiser to build the pedestal that the statue sits on. It has nothing to do with immigration at all. Did you know 109 people were delayed out of 500,000 travelers? That's what this is all about. And it's the same 7 countries that President Obama put a ban on 8 years ago. There's 7 countries that have no export vetting of people that leave their country. The 10 most populous Muslim countries in the world are not amongst those 7 nations. It has nothing to do with Muslims, and it has nothing to do with immigration. It has everything to do with protecting our country. Oh, but Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer can get up and say, "Oh, it's such a terrible thing. They don't care about people. We just love people so much." No, they don't.
That's right.
Make a statement here. There is more to love or charity than just giving.
Yes,
right. Even giving can be selfish and doesn't mean love.
That's right.
The government gives a lot but doesn't love the people.
That's right.
They love the power and the empowerment and the entitlement that it gives over the people that receive their giving.
Yes, sir.
Nancy Pelosi and the power-hungry Democrats want the power to keep giving to people so that they'll keep them in power, keep them dependent. Look at the city of Detroit. Look at the city of Atlanta. Look at the city of Washington, D.C. You have a government-dependent people that live in poverty, and they've been run by liberals for 100 years. Everybody doing okay? God told us 2,000 years ago that we would define charity as we do today because they were doing it then. Oh, give to your favorite charitable organization. Again, I'll give to St. Jude's. I'm not saying that St. Jude's doesn't do good work. But just because you give to St. Jude's doesn't mean you are charitable. Just because you gave to some Salvation Army, you know, the pot dingers or whatever you call them things at Christmas time, the ding-a-lings. Just because you give to the Salvation Army, doesn't mean anything. Now, 125 years ago, when it was started, it was a gospel preaching issue. That's why it was called the Salvation Army. But salvation went out of that army a long time ago because it was never part of a church. Now, I say that to say this. We have corrupted the word charity. God's definition of charity and ours is much different. So what charity is not? Well, God said charity, first of all, is not loving words and attitudes. He said, secondly, it's not people who appear spiritual and talk spiritually or intellectually spiritual and very very high-mindedness. Number three, God said that charity is not giving food and money to poor people only. So, just because something says it's a charitable organization, like the Clinton Foundation... Wait a minute. Did you know they have as much right to call themselves a charity as United Way does? Did you know they consider a church a charity? That's what's dangerous. That's why people have this mentality that it's the church's job to feed everybody and pay their bills and move them. Do all kinds of things. It's amazing. If you knew what I get asked to do, all the bills I get asked to pay, all the people I get asked to help, and if I don't help them, then I get phone calls back. Well, thanks for nothing. Oh, well. Sorry. God bless you. I didn't lose any sleep. I'm sorry. I did my best. I'm for helping people. But it doesn't say welfare agency over the door, just so you know. But that's what we have corrupted the word of charity into meaning. God tells us in the first three verses there what charity or love is not. Next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about what love is according to God. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed.